20th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, thanking you for the Bible, the Word of God. This preacher needs your help tonight, Lord. You know the need of my heart. You know my needs tonight, and I ask you to help me to be a blessing to these people, and to bring forth your Word in a way that would help us and just help remind us of how important it is in being right with you and what glorious, wonderful things you have prepared for us in the future. We're so thankful you've done all this for us, and we just pray you use your scripture tonight to bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Up in verse number 4 of this chapter, he says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Tonight I'm going to take a little bit of a time out before we go into some of the scriptures that we read as our text tonight. And what I want to do is I want to take us to the millennium reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And what I want to do is try to show us some of the characteristics of that reign, some of the things that will happen on earth. This will be more like a Bible study. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah and spend much of our time in the book of Isaiah tonight. But what we want to do is show you some of the things that's going to be in the millennial reign of Christ here on this earth. A very special, wonderful, wonderful time on this earth. See, the whole structure of the earth, if you will remember, we've been with us at the ending here of the terrible vials and the seals and the trumpets and all the judgments that's been brought upon this earth. The whole earth is going to be structured different. I certainly do not know all the way it is, but I know the Bible says the mountains will be removed. The Bible says the islands will move away. I don't know all that it's going to look like, but it's going to have a whole different structure about the earth. And it's going to be a whole basically new place. As we will see, much of the curse is going to be lifted off of it during this millennial reign of Christ. And so we're going to look at some of those things, and I hopefully it will not be a boring Bible study, but we're going to look at some things to show you what's going to be going on in the millennial reign. Basically, I'm just going to use maybe a one-word characteristic of what's going to take place. The first one is, it's going to be unprecedented peace. The Prince of Peace has finally come. And he set up his reign upon this earth. And it's going to be a place of peace. I kind of think around, look around and see Ron Allen sitting out of there and other guys that's been in war, and I say, they'll be glad there'll be no more war. It's a horrible thing. This earth, war is a terrible, wicked thing. And there will be none during the millennial reign of Christ. It'll be peace. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, the 2nd chapter. Second chapter of Isaiah. We're going to just read, like I said, a few verses. And Verse number 4, we're going to read, "And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." You imagine that for 1,000 years, there'll not be any war. And let me say to you, the one that is coming at the end of the 1,000 years will not be much of a war. There is going to be an uprising. Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison, as the scripture says. But for 1,000 years, there'll be no war. Can you imagine that for 1,000 years, nations do not have to spend much of their treasury that they would have on any type of munitions whatsoever? There won't be any. They'll beat them into plowshares and pruning hooks. And there will not be the weapons of war. What a wonderful place it's going to be. I'm just going to try to paint a little bit of a picture tonight of what it's going to be during the millennial reign. Look at verse number 7. He says, "And their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots." In other words, the Bible is telling us, and we probably should have read verses before that, but the land is going to be a rich land. It's going to be peace and prosperity during that time. Not like this false prosperity that we're having right now. Now, I know we're having prosperity, but let me just say, somewhere along the line, that thing's going to come to an end. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I don't know what day, but I know it's going to come to an end. But in his time, it will not come to an end. It'll be throughout all of those wonderful 1,000 years, we'll have peace. Look over at chapter 32. Of the book of Isaiah. Verse number 17 and 18. "And the works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." He's talking about the time during the time when he's going to set up his kingdom. Israel today is always sitting on the edge of problems and war. Has been for years and years. She's looking for a peace, which she's going to be promised a peace. If you know your scriptures, she's going to be promised a peace, but it's going to be a false peace. It isn't going to last very long. A peace treaty of 7 years, and it'll be broken in the midst of the 7 years. And she right now is always looking toward her neighbors and wondering when they might attack her. But during this time, be complete peace. Jesus Christ will set up, and of course, he is the Prince of Peace. Not only that, going to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 12th chapter, I said the 9th chapter, 12th chapter, verse number 3, "Therefore," and not only is it going to be a place of peace, it's going to be a place of joy. A joy that passes all understanding. Verse number 3 says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Can you imagine a place of continual joy? We can't hardly imagine such things like that because we have so many ups and downs in our lives and so many things that happen that we may have joy, we may have the inside joy of knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but so many happenings on the outside that change as far as the way we react to all of these things. In that day, this will not happen. It'll be a great day of joy. Look at chapter 25 of Isaiah. Chapter 25, verse number 8 and 9. says he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and he will be. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Israel speaking throughout much of this, it's going to be a great time for Israel, because during the millennium reign, the Lord certainly rules over Israel. And it's going to be a great, wonderful time of great joy upon the earth. We have peace, we have joy, and then, of course, also we're going to look at Isaiah 12, 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2. We're going to see how God comforts his people. Just want to ask you a question, and I'm sure I know the answer to this, but hasn't there been times in your life especially, I know you can always find comfort from the Lord, but hasn't there been special times in your life when the Lord just simply reached down, almost like he put his arm around you, drew you near, and gave you such sweet comfort? That is a precious time. Well, I believe in the millennial reign it's going to be a constant comfort from the Lord. Look in Isaiah, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And he talks about how the Lord was comforting him. And what a wonderful thing to live in a state of comfort from the Lord. Look at chapter 49 of Isaiah, verse 13. And he says there, he says, sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth in singing, O mountain, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Once again, and we could take you to many verses. Maybe we'll look at one more, chapter 51, since we're near it there, verse number 3. He says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. Once again, we're kind of getting an idea of the attitude that's going to be in the millennial reign. With God's people, he's going to give them great peace, he's going to give them joy, and he's going to comfort them personally. Personal comfort from God Almighty. Not only that, let's look at let's go out of the book of Isaiah just a moment, go to the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah. I want to read the 5th verse. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. It'll be complete, perfect justice during the millennial reign, because Jesus Christ is ruling. There will be no mistakes. There will be no courts bought off. Just because of who people are, or what type of riches they have, none of those things will take place. It will be absolutely perfect righteousness, and judgment will be meted out with perfect justice. Amen? All things will be known, and Jesus Christ will be the one that knows them, and it will be perfect. Amen? You won't have to worry about ever getting a raw deal. Perfect, perfect justice during that time. Not only that, the world and the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Go with me to Isaiah, the 11th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1 and 2. Since then there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. And this is Isaiah 11, verse 2 now. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse number 9 says, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It'll be a time when You won't have to go around and be knocking on doors and saying, let me try to lead you to Christ. It'll be the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. There'll be things that we'll be doing as we come back here to reign with Him. I don't understand all of those things, but we even find out that the Lord does much of the teaching. The Lord teaches. And here in the first part of chapter 11, you find out the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it's going to be a wonderful, precious time when the Holy Spirit of God is going to also teach the Word of God, teach the things of God to the people. We don't know the half of it. We don't even have the least of understanding. I mean, that's about all we've got, is the very least of understanding of things. Because there is so much throughout, I believe, the ages of eternity that God is going to teach us and tell us about Himself and how the wonders of God. I believe we'll get to know those things throughout eternity. Here we're talking about the millennial reign. I want you to look over in the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter of Isaiah. Verse number 13, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." You won't have to worry about the, UCLA, not in UCLA, that silly AACLU, is that it? Yeah, that wild group. You won't have to worry about them running around and saying, "We can't do this. We can't have the Ten Commandments in the school. We can't have the Ten Commandments in the courts. We can't." No. Jesus is going to teach, and the Word of God is going to be everywhere, just like it should be now. It should be, I say. Now it isn't, but it should be now. So there's going to be full knowledge. Now, just get kind of a picture there of a little bit of what is happening and what's going to take place on this earth during that time. Now also, there's going to be removal. I mentioned earlier the removal of the curse. Let's look over in chapter 11, verse number 6. Let's start there. Verse number 6, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Think of this, folks. A little child leading around a bear, a lion, because it talks about a bear here. "And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." Just imagine that. That's going to happen during the millennial reign. The curse that is here now, that we know of now, will be removed. Child will not be afraid to play with a snake. Boy, I can't imagine that. I don't know about you. I think I'd rather sit down with a lion than I would a snake. Amen. But anyway, the lion and the cub and the bear cub and the calf and the little children all just play together. The curse is going to be lifted. Look in chapter 65 of the book of Isaiah. Verse 25, "And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." See, during the time of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that curse is going to be lifted. The animals are not going to be fierce and ferocious animals. Their kids will be able, children will be able to play with them, sit down with them. The animals will eat together, the ones that now are enemies and would naturally devour each other. During that time, it's going to be a perfect, wonderful place where Jesus Christ rules. Not only that, I believe sickness is going to be removed. Now, once again, in this, I'm going to show you a verse of Scripture, but I want to share with you that basically people are going to live for 1,000 years. I don't believe they'll live over 1,000 years because at the beginning of the, in the book of Genesis, where it talked about in that day thou shalt die when thou eat of the fruit, and of course a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, but this is 1,000-year reign. And people will once again, as we'll talk about in a minute, to receive longevity once again. Look at sickness in Isaiah, the 33rd chapter of Isaiah. 33rd chapter of Isaiah, the 24th verse. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. And once again, I believe that that curse will be lifted. There won't be the dying. There is going to be some dying. We may get to look at that. But there may be some dying. But it won't be a natural thing for people to die at 70 years of age. That would be a very unnatural thing. It talks about even the child will die at 100. In other words, the whole system is going to be changed and people will be living close to 1,000 years during that time, you see, because that curse has been lifted. Also in chapter 29, let's look there. Chapter 29, verse 17. It says, Is it not like a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. I believe they're going to see the healing of deformities and sicknesses during that time. It talks about the deaf will hear, the blind will see. Look also in chapter 35 of this book, verse number 3. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert. He's talking about the time of the millennial reign when the lame will be able to walk, the dumb will be able to speak, the blind will be able to see. It's going to be a marvelous 1,000 years of reign for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, in chapter 65, verse number 20, he said, there shall be no more hence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And I believe during that time, for someone to die at 100 years old, they'll be considered a young man. When it talks about the sinner, I believe there will be some deaths during that time because of hardness of heart and unwillingness of those who have been born during that time to yield to the rule of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. There'll be no foolishness in those days. There'll be nothing allowed. None of that foolish stuff will be allowed in those days. But we'll find out if we get time tonight, we're going to find out that that's all pent up in the heart of man. Even though Jesus Christ is ruling and he's forcing them to do what he tells them to do, and well, he will. But there's something within the heart of man that is desperately wicked above all. We're going to see about that in just a few moments, hopefully. Not only that, I want to show you in Isaiah, the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, verse number 8 and 9. So, Brother Ross, during the millennial reign, what are they going to do? They're just going to sit around and twiddle their thumbs and enjoy life and have a good time? Well, I think they will enjoy life, but they're not going to sit around and twiddle their thumbs. In chapter 62, verse 8 and 9 says, "The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of strangers shall not drink thy wine for that for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it. And praise the Lord, that they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness." I want you to know there'll be no welfare programs. No. Said the person who prepares it, the person who grows it, is the one's going to eat it. I'll give you another scripture, chapter 65, verse 21. "And they that had built houses and inhabited them, they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." It's going to be a time of work. You know, think about it. I think you believe this. I believe you do. I believe work is enjoyable. I think it's fun to work. I mean, honestly, I believe it's enjoyable. How would you like to just go sit in your house and just sit there for the rest of your life? That's not fun. And during the millennial reign, you're going to be doing things. They are going to be doing things. We're going to come back as glory in our glorified bodies and help the Lord to reign. Again, I don't know all that that entails, but the people of the millennial reign will be working. And they'll be enjoying it, and they'll be having joy and peace. And it'll be a wonderful time of prosperity and a time of great joy and a time of great peace. And so also then, and I want to show you one more in chapter, I want to go to the book of Zechariah, Zechariah the 13th chapter. Book of Zechariah has much to say about the millennial reign. The book of Jeremiah has some to say about it. The book of Isaiah has a whole lot to say about it. But in Zechariah, the 13th chapter, the second verse says this. Well, let me read the first verse. "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land." I want to tell you something that will not happen in the millennial reign. There won't be any cults. There won't be any false worship. There won't be one exist. God says he'll cut them off out of the land. We make laws to help them nowadays. Jesus will cut them off and put them out. If you'll notice in chapter 14 of Zechariah, 16th verse, he says, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacle. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherein the Lord will smite the heathen and come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle." It's going to be a terrible, terrible price to be paid for anyone that does not come up on a yearly basis to worship the Lord at Jerusalem. There's only going to be one that's going to be worshipped during that time, or allowed to be worshipped during that time. That's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't have any of the Jehovah Witness during those times, so-called. You won't have any Mormons during that time. You won't have any Moonites during that time, and all the Muslims and all of the, they won't be around. You won't be doing that. Oh no, it'll be the worship of the Lord completely and fully. So I just tried to give you a little bit of a picture. I want to go back to the book of Revelation now, but just a little bit of a picture. That's a very little picture of the millennial reign, but it gives you a few things that the characteristics of what the millennial reign is going to be like. We're going to go back to the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter and just take a just talk just for a few moments on these scriptures and probably revisit them probably next week. But I just want to show you in verse number 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, that's just what we've been talking about, the 1,000-year reign or rule of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. He said, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Go back over in verse number 3. We were already told that this was going to happen. And it says, and cast him, and of course it's talking about Satan, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. He'd already told us in verse number 3 that he was going to be put in a prison, in the bottomless pit. He was also told us in that portion of Scripture why he was put in there, so he would not deceive the nations anymore. He was not allowed to for 1,000 years deceive the nations. His heart certainly has not changed. His nature, his character has not changed 1 ounce. What he is a deceiver. Throughout the Scriptures, God talks about that the fact that he is a deceiver. He was put in there to keep from deceiving the nations. He immediately, upon the getting out of that prison, returns to his old ways and goes out and deceives the nations. Once again. Now, here's what's awesome to me, and of course let me say this to you. The reason he has to is, and the reason God allows him to be loosed, is for the purpose of those that was born during the millennial reign. Those that went into the millennial reign were all saved. There will be no saved people go into the millennial reign, beginning into the millennial reign. But there will be children born during that time. And their hearts have never been tested. And God loses Satan for a short period of time to test the hearts of those people who've been born during that time. Now this here is amazing to me. The Bible says in verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. That means all the four quarters of the earth. All parts of the earth is what he's saying. Satan is turned loose to go out and to deceive them. If you notice Gog and Magog would mention back in the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. It's a different Gog and Magog, but I believe that this Gog, what he's calling it Gog and Magog here, is representative of Gog the princes, Magog the lands, that is going to stand against God. And it's just an amazing thing to me, if you'll notice what it says, he gathered them together to battle, and the number of them is as the sand of the sea. For 1,000 years, Jesus Christ has been ruling. And he turns Satan loose, and in a very short time, he gathers people from all over the world as the sand of the sea. I can't even imagine how many people that would be. Listen, remember something. During that period of time, the 1,000-year reign of Christ is going to be the greatest population explosion that's ever been upon the face of this earth. People will not be dying. And there'll be multitudes and multitudes and masses of people upon this earth during that time. And Satan is turned loose, and he gathers them, and the only way he could describe them here was as the sands of the sea. Now, can that help us to understand just a little bit about the wickedness of the heart of men? Isn't that something that should even help us to understand that our heart without Christ is wicked? Is wicked. It has the capability of doing wicked, wicked things. Amen? Without Christ. And here these people are without Christ, and they come. Satan deceives them and gathers them together as the sand of the sea. And it says they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. Tells us where that's at, the beloved city. We find that they come and they gather themselves together almost as they did in the Battle of Armageddon. They come to the place where Jerusalem sets. I'm sure that Jerusalem and around Jerusalem could not hold all of them, but they'll be massed all in the areas around Jerusalem. They'll come and come, and God just says in his word that he sends fire out of heaven and devours them. That's all he says. just done. They have been tested, they've been tried, and they've been allowed to be deceived by Satan, and they move against the God whom they had been, who had been ruling over them for 1,000 years. The heart is wicked, desperately wicked above all. Amen? It's amazing. And then we'll just read this and come back to that later. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. You see, I like the way God does it. Of course, wouldn't make any difference if I didn't. He's going to do it, however. But I like the way he does it. He just don't make no big deal out of it. Here this Satan who's been deceiving people for all of these centuries and centuries, he just simply says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. And I want you to notice, it also says where the beast and the false prophet were. Does it say that? Are. Doesn't say where they were 1,000 years before that. They were cast in the lake of fire. They're still there. Burning. Suffering. For 1,000 years, and will continue to do so, as he says here, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. The old devil's going to get his due. And he's going to spend all eternity in the lake of fire. Let us pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to understand that our hearts, oh God, without you, without your strength, without your power, Father, are wicked above all. And we ask you, God, to help us. Help us reach a wicked nation and a wicked people that know you not, so that they too might receive the joy and the peace of knowing you as personal Savior. Help us to do that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.